reading to you from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter and the 25th verse. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my names, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing the good news ever since. Friends, listen. This is the time of the year when everybody needs to start looking into their own hearts and their lives. Oh, I know, people go out and they spend thousands of dollars on Christmas. They never even know what the season's all about. Don't even know what it's all about. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Reading to you from the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, and let's begin reading with the 23rd verse. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instructions, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she shall bear thee. Shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself upright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth down the top of a mast. Thou hast stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Friends, the title of this message, The Woes of Wine. I've had people ask me many times, Cecil, are you saying that a person cannot be a Christian and drink? I never said that. The Bible never said it. But I'll tell you what, you're not a good Christian if you drink. You know why? Because people who are lost in sin, they see a Christian drinking, they'll say, wow, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of it. Friends, listen, I have to tell you, I have to make a confession to you today. Number one, the holidays are the worst time in the world for an alcoholic. I have been sober 52 years, and I still hate Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. You say, what? No, I don't mean I hate it. The memories that I have of Christmas and of New Year's being drunk and partying, and I've forgiven myself for it. God has forgiven me for it. but the memories are still there. Oh, friends, the terrible things I did. And I am so glad that my God loved me so much that Christ went to the cross and died for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be with you tonight. Well, alcohol, is it a friend or is it an enemy? They invite it into their homes. They raise it to toast special occasions. Solomon described alcohol as an enemy. He called alcohol the source of sorrow and contentions. And he described alcohol as a snake in a glass. He warned against alcohol's addictiveness and destructive power. Did you know, friends, I don't know how many years the AMA have been telling the world that alcoholism is a disease. It is not a disease. It is a sin. That's right. The Bible says that a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless they have been converted. Friends, I knew that when I was lost, when I was an alcoholic. I knew that appeared in the Bible. When I was 9 years old, my sister and myself, we signed a deal in the family Bible saying that with God's help, we would never drink, we would never smoke, and we went against God's word. The morning that I fell upon my knees and told Jesus I was sorry for my sin, he forgave me, and my memory went back to the time I was 9 years old, and I signed my name in that Holy Bible. I have it right here in my office today. So thankful that I signed that, but more thankful that the Lord forgave me and saved me. You see, the woes of wine are found in the Bible and are found today. Alcohol has brought down kings and men of faith. Today it is the world's greatest destroyer. Kills far more people than does a war. Did you believe that? Biblical warnings abound about the woes of wine. Now, the woes of alcohol visited Noah and Lot. We read in the 9th chapter of Genesis. Now, Noah was a great man. Oh, he was a tremendous man. And God ordained him and his sons to build that great big ark that saved that generation and destroyed the world. Well, after Noah, after the ark came down and dryness came over the land, Noah raised a great big vineyard. And one day, he got drunk. And his two sons saw Noah in his tent naked. And they went over and covered his body with their coats. You remember also in Genesis, we read where Lot had two daughters. And after he delivered them from Sodom and Gomorrah, they got drunk, and both of them conceived from their father. Now, their excuse, there were no other men available. Two great men fell into serious sin because of alcohol. Well, you say, Cecil, wait a minute. Well, let me tell you what I did, friends. And I don't like to make this confession, but I have to tell my story. I had a brother-in-law that I loved. He was younger than I, and him and I drank together every time we got a chance. Well, after I was saved, my wife and I drove to Portland to see my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law said, you know, Cecil, it's kind of like there's a kind of a veil between you and I. You're the same person, but you really aren't. Well, I said, because we're on different sides of the page. I've been born again, and you're still lost in your sin. Now, let me tell you how the devil tricked me. My brother-in-law said, well, I tell you, you may quit drinking, but I'm still a better pool player than you. Well, I had to take that challenge, I thought, and so we went to the pool hall. Now, get this. This is a true story, friends. The next thing I know, my brother-in-law was holding up two fingers, and they brought back two glasses of beer. I never gave it a moment's thought, not even one moment's thought. And we drank that beer. And then it wasn't long, I was raising two fingers up. The bartender brought back two glasses of beer. I think I took one sip, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted me so bad I wanted to die. I had deceived my brother-in-law. Here I was going to Seattle, to Portland, to tell him about Jesus, and I fell into sin just like the devil knew I would. Now get this. I said, I quit the pool game. I said, I'm going back to the house. I told my wife, I said, pack up the kids. We're going back to Seattle. She said, we've only been here about an hour. I said, I'm through. I'm done. And we got in the car and we drove back to Seattle, and I confessed to my wife what I did. She said, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. But I tell you what I did, friends. I prayed from the bottom of my heart that God would help me make that thing right with my brother-in-law. Now, here's what happened. A few years later, I was called by the family that lived next door to my brother-in-law that her daughter was getting married, and she wanted me to perform the ceremony because I knew them when they were a little girl. So we went down there, and we went out to practice that night before the wedding, and there was enough whiskey and beer and wine on that table to float a battleship. Everybody was drinking. Now, after we finished the practice, my brother-in-law went over and poured out a shot of whiskey and come and handed it to me. I took the whiskey and I put it down on the table. I said, no thanks. What do you mean, no thanks? You drank on me last time. I said, yes, I did. You bet I did. And I have prayed that God would make that thing right. We went out to the car. My brother-in-law come out and put his arm around my neck. He said, Cecil, we've been buddies for years. You mean you won't have one drink with me just for old time's sake? I said, no, no, no. And I'll tell you why, Bob. The reason being, I slipped and fell. I did a hypocritical thing when I drank beer with you, when I came down to tell you about my wonderful Savior. No, Bob, I'll never drink again. Oh, my dear friends, I want you to know I still can see the eyes of my brother-in-law. He couldn't believe that I would do it, would not drink with him. Well, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was a man of faith who obeyed God. And he built that faith by, he built that ark by faith. Can you believe what he did? No chainsaws, no drills, no nothing. But God gave him and his sons a job to do. And Noah did it. Now, all the years, 100 years, that they were building that ark, Noah went out and told people, dear friends, there's a flood coming and the world is going to be destroyed. They laughed at him. They poked fun of him. They said, Noah, he's been out in the sun too long. He's lost his marbles. His elevator's not going to the top floor. Well, he still stuck by what God had told him, and he preached and he begged and he pleaded, but they laughed at him. They'd never seen rain out there, so they couldn't understand how that great big massive thing could float. But the time came. That time came when the Lord said, Noah, it's time now to load the animals two by two. What a job that must have been. But they did. They loaded up those animals, and boy howdy, it began to rain. And rain it did. As much sand as there, you know how much rain it would take to raise water. But pretty soon the water was up to their ankles, these people. And they went back to their leaders and said, their spiritual leaders, and said, what is this water up to our ankles? Don't worry about it. That guy was nutting a fruitcake. There's not going to be anything happen. pretty soon, the water was up to their knees. Now they went back to their spiritual leaders again and said, wait a minute, this water's up to our knees. Said, that's all right, he's nuttering a fruitcake. And pretty soon, the water was to their neck. And they were floating and they were begging, Noah, Noah, open the door, let us in. It was too late. Friend, is it too late for you tonight? No, not tonight. It's not too late for you to come into the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. It's not too late. If you're willing to repent of your sins and you're willing to ask him to forgive you and save you, he'll do that. And he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Well, Noah was used of God to save the human race. But, after the flood, alcohol brought Noah great sorrow. And his sons were just absolutely humiliated. They saw their son laying out there, their dad out there naked, and they wouldn't cover him with their coats. Well, Lot, Abraham's nephew, was spared from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? There was homosexuality rampant. Sin was rampant. Lot had entered into that, put it into those people's lives, him and his wife and family, and they become a part of that culture. But the time come when God decided to deliver Lot and his wife and his kids, two daughters, out of that godless place. Well, his wife turned her back and looked back to see it, and she stand as a pillar of salt even to this day. Well, so they went out, and Lot and his two daughters, and there was nobody else. And so the daughters, they conceived, they decided they would conceive from their father, so they got him drunk with wine, and both of them conceived and had children. Their excuse was there was no other men available. Two great, great men fell into serious sin because of alcohol. Well, the woes of alcohol were prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah lived and prophesied in an ungodly age. You see, the Bible says God was sick of their offerings. His nation was immoral and ripe for judgment. And Isaiah was charged to rebuke his people for their sins. Beloved, I'm going to tell you what. If you're a born-again believer, you are charged to rebuke these people who are unsaved. But we don't do it. You know why? We just don't care. We just don't care. People are going to hell and we just do not care. Our churches today do not care. And I'm putting a blanket coverage on that. All churches are not in that category. There are a lot of churches who really care about people. But we're trying to build mega churches. I knew a pastor here, a friend of mine. He was trying to build a mega church. He wanted a TV program. He wanted to be on radio. And he wanted to do this and that. Well, he ended up having an affair with one of the women in the church. And they left it. And you know what? That church is a big church, too. Has never been the same since. Never been the same since. Well, are we telling our neighbors and our friends? Now, you know, when I introduced an alcoholic to Christ in my home a couple months ago, he's doing wonderful. His business is starting to pick up again. And he's reading his Bible, and he calls me every day, and I call him, and we pray. I'll tell you what, the Lord got a hold of this man's heart. The Lord got a hold of his heart. Some of the strongest of these woes had to do with alcohol use. Where are the servants of God who will do the same today? You know what, friends? You and I talk to people, alcoholics. I don't preach at them. I don't bang them over the head with the Bible. I tell them exactly how I felt. I tell them how I met Jesus and what Christ has done in my heart and life. That's what I tell them. And that's what that alcoholic said, Cecil, the one thing I like about you, you never jumped onto me about my drinking. Well, Reverend Tom Baird never jumped onto me about my drinking. But he did tell me, kept telling me, that God loved me. I could not believe that God could love a wretched sinner like Cecil Moe. Now remember, friends, God does not love your sins, but he loves you and I as sinners. You see, God can't look on sin. He's a righteous, holy God. He can't look on it. Don't you remember the woes of alcohol that fell upon Belshazzar? The king of Babylon gave a drinking party, and alcohol moved into sacrilege. Well, they heard about a guy that was pretty sharp. His name was Daniel. And he was summoned to the drinking party, and he announced his doom. The handwriting on the wall announced the king's coming death. Friends, did you know? Thousands die annually because of alcohol use. And friends, listen to me. The handwriting is on the wall. I see where doctors now are recommending that you drink a glass or two of wine a day and it'll help you. Well, I got news for you. When do you know you cross the line? My first big encounter, real encounter with alcohol was when I was in the Navy, 17 years old. I got drunk and I passed out, and they took me back to the base. From that point on, every time I had an opportunity to get drunk, I would do it. You know what I thought I was doing? I thought I was forgetting my problems, my loneliness, my heartache for my parents had died. I had nobody. I was an orphan. And I used that for an excuse, which is a lie out of hell. Alcohol does not comfort. Alcohol does not give you anything but heartache and woe. Well, this pastor kept telling me, but Cecil, God loves you. I wanted to believe that. Sure I did. But I couldn't. But the more he shared of me, now you know the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more he shared of God's word, told me about Nicodemus, the religious ruler of the Jews, whose Jewish, his religion would not get him into heaven. He knew it. So Jesus told him how to be born again, and Nicodemus was. I didn't understand that. Didn't make a lot of sense. Until he read John 3:16, and all of a sudden, all the things I remembered as a little boy, sitting on the Davenport beside my mother, my sister sitting on the other side, and Mama reading out of the big old family Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of a sudden, that came to light. Oh, my friends, let me tell you a sad story. Years and years ago, I was in my hometown, and I'd been drinking. And I told my wife, I said, we have to go out. I've got to put some flowers on my parents' grave before we go camping. I went down and I bought a big bouquet of flowers, and I went out to the cemetery. Oh, I'll never forget this. I knelt down and I spread those flowers on my mom's grave and my dad's grave and my little sister's grave. And all of a sudden, friends, it was just like I heard my mother saying, Cecil, look at you. Look what you're doing to yourself. I wept, I wept, I wept. And my wife and the kid was sitting in the car. She didn't know what was going on. I went back and I got in the car and we went camping. And I stayed drunk all that time. Now many, many years have passed. Many years have passed. I was in my hometown. Now this is after I become a Christian. I decided I'd go out to visit my mom and dad and my sister's grave. I went out there, and all of a sudden there was a big smile come on my face. my mom, my dad, and my sister are in heaven, and I'm going to heaven. And I thought, oh, what a day of rejoicing that would be. Pretty soon a stranger, perfect stranger, walked by me, and I said, sir, can I tell you something? He said, what? I said, you know what? A few years ago, I was a terrible alcoholic. I came out here to put flowers on my mother's and dad's grave. And I thought I could hear my mother say, Cecil, look at your life. Look at your life. And I said, I wept till there was no more tears. But I said, I'm not weeping anymore, because I found the same Jesus that they found before they died. And the guy just shook his head and walked away. I'll bet he thought this guy was as crazy as it can be. But it was true. Alcohol enslaves people. Jesus sets people free. Listen, listen to this. Living water beats wine every time. You say, well, Cecil, for heaven's sakes, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't even drink. That's all right. That's not only the only sin in the world. The greatest sin in the world is unbelief. Did you know that? If you don't believe Jesus, you're condemned already, because you now have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. He said, if you are godly sorrow for your sin, and you'll repent, that means do a complete turnaround, turn your back on the way of life, and cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He will not only forgive your sins, but he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, friends, listen. Is that what you want tonight, you see? Cecil, that's exactly what I want. I'm so miserable. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. My life is a disgrace. If you really feel it tugging at your heart tonight and you want peace with God during this holiday season, won't you bow your head with me? But, oh, beloved, please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. This is the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray in your life, and this is how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins, and I'm willing to turn my back on the old way of life. And now, Lord, I'm inviting you into my heart to be my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534. If you don't have the money for the call, call me collect. I'm waiting for your call.
Your faith